Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Up North Sports Radio Friday Face-Off, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in our studios here in Grayling with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And Keith, normally we would start off with the Red Wings' new hire, but cataclysmic sports news, especially affecting the state of Michigan. It looks like USC and my Bruins are joining the Big Ten, or whatever it's going to be called, the Big 20, coming up pretty soon, right?
Yeah, they go from 14 to 16 teams. Now, that's the cataclysmic is right. I mean, that's amazing news.
Out of nowhere.
I mean, the last two that joined the Big Ten were kind of, Maryland and Rutgers. Are you kidding me? In the Big Ten? But now you got two serious college athletic programs.
Well, how lucky are Maryland and Rutgers, right? Because
absolutely,
there's like North Carolina or mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what other teams you would have joined. I mean, that was strategic to bring in the Washington D.C. and New York television markets. And I mean, what other team would you have brought in for the New York market other than St. John's?
You're right.
There isn't one. And like you said, and of course, the bottom line is it's always about money. The Big Ten going to be renewing television contracts soon. And rumor has it that each team's going to be guaranteed $100 million each year. So UCLA, USC, they want a piece of that action because they're not getting anything close to that out at in the Pac-10.
The Big Ten
Pac-12
is now a coast-to-coast league.
Yeah.
Coast-to-coast.
No, it's fantastic. I don't think the SEC can do that.
No.
I mean, what is the SEC going to do? Go get Stanford or Oregon? I mean, Oregon might make that move.
Oregon would be the team that would.
Stanford doesn't fit in the SEC necessarily.
On the education
right.
Report, that's for sure. Spell Texas. That's all it takes to get into Texas. Spell
how many
Texas.
Chances do I get?
It will spot you the X.
Oh.
There's an X in the middle. Go ahead, start now. It's almost unfathomable. I was thinking this morning what we were going to talk about in the show, and I'm like, what would Bo Schembechler say to this? Or Joe Paterno, right? Paterno, I mean, remember when Penn State first joined, what a hullabaloo
that
was.
Oh, yes. Oh, they're going to come in and dominate the Big Ten. Yeah.
And as we were talking about before we went on the microphones here, guys, where does that leave Notre Dame? Notre Dame is going to have to either join the Big Ten or the SEC. And, as we were saying, I think, even though it makes all the sense in the world for Notre Dame to go ahead and join here, for whatever reason, their animus against the Big Ten, I guess they'll be moving to the SEC.
Is it animus against the Big Ten or animus against Michigan particularly? There seemed to be a lot of nasty stuff between those two programs. See, just to schedule a damn game.
Yeah. Notre Dame, the last big fish out there now, really, when you think about it. And, they've had this allegiance, alliance with,
the
ACC.
There's a few other big fish there, Rich, like Clemson.
They're going to I think, there's going to be two mega conferences.
Florida State, Miami, at least from a football standpoint. The really cool thing about the USC and the UCLA thing is UCLA brings so much luster to the basketball side
of it,
which is one of the reasons why the Big Ten network makes so much more money than the SEC, because Big Ten basketball is huge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's always the second conference. Sometimes it's the first conference.
Yep.
SEC basketball is on the rise. I'll give them credit.
Yeah, last couple years, no doubt.
But there's a lot of people that jump in and join watching Big Ten basketball. The hockey network. There's a lot of programs on the Big Ten network that get a pretty good coverage.
Yeah.
And that is the reason why they make so much more money than the SEC or the Pac-12, which is why this is happening.
It's just extraordinary. I mean, the college landscape, I hope I'm around in 10, 15 years to see what it looks like, because
well, there'll be football in 15 years.
the changes that are going on with the NIL and that's just going to make, I think, the transfer portals bigger and more important than ever, with the students chasing the money.
Right.
It's going to be hard to keep track of the players.
That, you know, JC talking about teams, that's why I thought the Big Ten might at one point go after Kansas, obviously not because of football at all, but because of the basketball program.
Well, that ain't happening now.
Not now, right. But at one point I thought, well, Kansas would be an interesting addition to the Big Ten.
Yeah, I thought Kansas, Missouri were perfect candidates for the Big Ten once upon a time, but. Not now.
Well, you know, Missouri's been part of the SEC for a while,
yep.
And it hasn't really worked out great for Missouri.
It has not.
Yeah.
Nope.
So, you know, the competition portion of it, will this impact positively the amount of recruits that
right.
are going to come into the Big Ten as opposed to the SEC? We saw that with, you know, Arch Manning signing with Texas, all of a sudden they have signed, you know, 10 top 100 players.
Right.
And with USC and UCLA coming in, I don't know if that makes the conference more attractive. The other shoe that's going to drop, I think, when you mention NIL and students and dollars, is how much gambling money is now going to be available on the, you know, for the Big Ten.
That's a huge factor.
Huge. Yeah. The NFL just appointed a director of gambling
to oversee everything.
Yeah, to see how those dollars are collected and how the NFL is going to do it. So I can guarantee you next year, I'm going to apply for that job. the Big 12 director of gambling.
And they're obviously, they have some very good accountants working on things as well to make sure the numbers all match up. And like you said, JC, we're in the infancy part of this gambling thing with sports in, you know, legalized throughout many of the states. And
it's only legal in 16 or 17 states.
Yeah,
right,
more than
now.
That. More than, no,
I'll tell you in a moment.
Okay.
It is crazy the amount of money that's already been generated with FanDuel and all these other betting sites, for sure.
Yeah.
The market for legal sports betting in the U.S. doubled last year to more than $52.7 billion wagered. That's real money.
That's real. That's absolutely. That's some walking around money, Keith.
You think? I can't. My account automatically opens up now, so I can't. It used to be when you logged into FanDuel, it would ask you what state you were in, and I can't do that right now.
According to one poll, 80% of people have bet at least once. Have bet on sports at least once per month,
wow.
According to one poll of sports fans. I mean, we talk about conferences and players, NIL stuff, and so on. The gambling factor brings a whole different level of interest to those of us fans, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the fans have a different way to get excited about sports now, too.
Michigan, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Virginia.
Are the only states where it's legal.
Yeah. 15 or 16,
yep.
Like I said. Wait till I can't. California is getting ready. They legalized actual Indian casinos to have sports betting. So the next step is brick and mortar. You know, you add California, Florida, a few other states to this. Texas is not on there.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Surprising.
Yeah.
So
you kind of wonder why, because there's a lot of revenue to be gained.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. But I mean, it's certainly less nefarious than marijuana, if you ask me. But like I said, it's surprising to me the lack of participation by each state. It's just automatic for me. So Yeah, we love that we can get on our phones and gamble here in the state of Michigan. But guys at USC and UCLA can't, right?
Yeah.
Until they make their road trip.
Road trip to Michigan. Yeah.
I don't know how much that has to do with politics and people want to keeping Nevada viable because mm-hmm. California is, California and Arizona are the two states that people just flock to Vegas for.
Yep.
But I couldn't be more happy to see the Bruins, going to be on the schedule for basketball. We'll see how much this helps their football. The USC's had a fantastic recruiting year, and especially off the transfer portal with from Oklahoma being the head coach there now. And Chip Kelly, I think UCLA is going to have a pretty good football team this year. One of the other really cool things is how quickly they're turning this around. So you're talking about 2023.
Oh, no, 2024.
2024, right?
Which is still, I mean, that's
25 for the SEC.
Correct. Oklahoma, right? That's correct.
And that's been for a year plus, and they're expediting baby. Let's move it right along.
We'll see your Texas and Oklahoma with USC and UCLA, and we'll bring them in a year sooner.
Right.
The competition among those two conferences is
pretty fun. This, Ohio State does pretty good. Michigan obviously had a good year, but you take a look at the recruiting numbers, and Ohio State's in the top 10. Michigan's right on the border. All the rest of the schools are SEC. Mm-hmm. So, how much will this impact it? How many more California athletes are going to think about? Coming into the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, Kansas always gets a number of spectacular Los Angeles basketball players.
Right.
But, and Michigan from time to time has gotten some pretty interesting football players out of the L.A. market, but it hadn't happened recently.
Right, the running back that they had a few years ago then went back to UCLA had a great year.
Yeah. Was it the Huggy Bear kid? Or was
it happened twice. The Huggy Bear was
way back
before.
Just a massive shakeup here, and this is how many more dominoes left to fall? I mean, the Notre Dame domino. How many teams can you get your conference to 20 teams? Is that the number?
Well, they're
16
both
now,
at 16 with that. Yeah,
I
think the dominoes that we've talked about it off the air again, JC, is what the rest of the pack. Pac-12 teams are going to do, and the same way the Big 12 teams.
Sure.
What are they going to do?
I really think they're going to go after the Big Ten, Washington and Oregon, because Oregon with the Nike money and the affiliation there, that would be a huge get.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Or is Oregon the next domino, both the SEC and the Big Ten trying to grab that? But where Notre Dame falls, because Notre Dame is going to join one of these conferences, that gives you an odd number. You have to have at least one more team to round out to 18. So, and then this conference affiliations, that you saw that the ACC there's no individual conferences inside. The two best teams are going to play for the championship.
Right. That's where the Big Ten's going too. They're all going that way. They're all going that way. Yeah,
because, how many years, look at how the East the past few years has just been dominant in the Big Ten. The best teams have been in that division, let the best teams play.
That's right.
Another very interesting school in all of this is Arizona. Arizona has pretty good basketball teams, pretty good football teams. So there are a few other schools that are going to be influential. A lot of people were talking about North Carolina. Yeah, their football program hasn't been fantastic. It's been getting better. But you take a look at that from an overall sports perspective, adding North Carolina to the SEC would be massive.
It would.
Yeah, it would. But, Rich, what you just said a few minutes ago intrigues me about Oregon especially.
Yeah.
They're a perfect kind of fit for the SEC, and that would give them a chance to go coast-to-coast, too.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me at all, that team.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, there's a whole lot of money in that Nike,
Florida
Phil
State.
Knight, and the crew.
Florida State.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's just going to be explosive. You know how we talk about the NFL always being relevant. Well, college just took a big step into that arena.
It's like Europe after World War II, man. We're redrawing the lines there of what countries fit where and what they're going to be called.
And like you said, JC, it came out of nowhere. I mean, I didn't hear
shocking.
Any murmurs, no rumors, no nothing.
You sent that text. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Forget about, right. Yeah. That's because I was stunned watching SportsCenter midday eating some lunch, and all of a sudden it's like, what?
So you feel pretty good if you're, is Kevin, what's his name?
Warren,
Big Ten commissioner who's taking a lot of grief.
The Warren plan as opposed to the Marshall plan.
No kidding. But how'd you like to wake up this morning being Nikola Jokic?
Oh,
Nikola Jokic?
Yeah.
$264 million over 5 years. The largest contract
$52 million a year.
He's worth every penny.
Yeah.
He's a two-time MVP.
Yeah.
Plays every game.
He
never bitches.
Yep.
You know, he's perfect.
Yeah.
He didn't ask to opt out of Denver.
No.
Nope.
Kevin Durant,
nope.
Which we'll be talking about. We got a lot of things to talk about, folks. So stay tuned here on Friday Faceoff. Keith will pontificate about all the wonderful qualities of the new Red Wings coach.
That'll take about 15 seconds.
I was listening on the sports show, Anthony Bellino, X's and Bros on the way in this morning, and some guy texted in and goes, this is as big as signing Scotty Bowman. I'm like, I don't think so.
Oh my Lord.
You know, the people in the comments section, real quick, they've already nicknamed him Uncle Fester. That's just like, oh my God. They're brutal. They're brutal.
Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. And, you know, the FanDuel, the baseball season is turning K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Like, bet Aaron Judge to hit a home run, guys.
Yeah, that's a good bet, for
right
sure.
Now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. As I keep saying, why am I not a new user? You sign up with the promo code WGRY, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. So, as I said, you can bet Aaron Judge, bet the Yankees, although their overs have, I lost a couple of bets on their overs the last few games.
When they couldn't hit?
Well, they've had some, Justin Verlander, ever heard of that guy?
Yeah, that guy.
First guy to 10 wins?
Yeah.
FanDuel has great promos every day, and the app is safe, secure, and you get paid fast.
There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code WGRY to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000.
21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio, Friday Faceoff. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. Keith, you know, we had kind of guessed that this was going to happen, that the reason why there was no bubbling out of who the Wings were going to sign as a coach is because Stevie wanted one of the assistants from TB.
Yeah, we sort of had that figured out, I guess. Was he the best coach available? I still think Joel Quenneville was, but I don't think Quenneville's going to come to Detroit anyways, or maybe no other team because of what happened in Chicago and so on. But we all thought it would be one of the two assistants in Tampa working with John Cooper, the guy that Steve Yzerman hired when he was general manager in Tampa. And we thought that Derek Lalonde was the front runner because he'd been coaching longer. He'd been a head coach at lower levels in hockey and done very, very well, much like John Cooper had. And it turns out he's the guy that's been hired. And, you know, they're going to bring him in. And it kind of made me laugh a few minutes ago when you said some caller to another station said he was at
Uncle Fester.
No. Well, Uncle Fester, yeah. But this is a significant moment, like Scotty Bowman.
Oh,
excuse me.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
It's not.
No, it's more like Claude. Who was the
Claude Julien?
No. Who was the Canadian coach that we had before Scotty came in that ended up winning a cup in Montreal.
Oh, that was Jacques Demers.
Jacques Demers.
Oh,
yeah. He kind of reminds me of Jacques, the roly-poly.
I love Jacques.
With him and Perlis giving press conferences at the same time, it was unbelievably good.
No question. I can't tell you what
the cat is out of the casserole.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he made Yogi Berra look like George F. Will.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
But I can't tell you what kind of coach Derek Lalonde's going to be.
Gotta have talent.
I will trust. You gotta have talent.
Exactly. Gotta have talent.
I will trust Steve Yzerman. He has a pretty good track record of hiring coaches. Although the first coach he hired in Tampa was not a success. After 3 years, he fired him and brought in John Cooper.
Did he hire Barry Melrose?
Steve Yzerman? No.
Remember, because Melrose coached Tampa for what?
Before. Before Yzerman down there.
Yeah.
But you know, the Wings got themselves a coach. What we should be heartened by is that Lalonde worked with their power play, and they had a pretty good power play, but they also had some Hall of Famers on there. So it's a process. They got their coach now. Now they're going to have they got to add more pieces. They got and they can do that July 7 and 8. A week from now, we'll be talking about the Red Wings' first round draft pick. They have the 8th overall selection. They're going to get a decent player.
Not an impact right away player.
Probably not.
So it's not tradable for a impact player. I mean, how much of a splash are we going to see Yzerman make? How many Colorado Avalanche are going to show up on this Red Wing team? Because they've got a number of guys that they probably aren't going to be able to sign.
Well, yeah, it's the same with Tampa, too. Both teams.
But Avalanche have young guys that they won't be able to sign. And the Tampa Bay, who's the young guy on the Avalanche or on Tampa Bay that's going to slip through their fingers?
Palat. Andre Palat is a really good player who needs to sign, and they don't know whether they can afford him.
Okay,
they're going to have to move some people around, and that was an Yzerman draft.
Yeah.
But
you understand what I'm saying?
No, I do absolutely, absolutely. I mean, Nazem Kadri. Colorado is going to sign with somebody else. They're not. Colorado's
if the Wings are going, I mean, look at. The Avalanche and the Wings were kind of down in the dumps about the same time. Avalanche started falling off a year before, but when you want to make that comparison, we just saw Unrivaled and everything else, and how come the Avalanche won a Stanley Cup, and we still aren't even sniffing the playoffs?
Correct.
And if we don't get three significant guys in free agency, we're not going to sniff the playoffs again this year.
Yeah, all of that.
I hate the demand up and down guys.
All of that is right. Yeah. All of that is right. And, you know, there are people out there who still think it's 3 or 4 or 5 years away. But I'm not sure. I mean, Steve.
Six years without the playoffs. So you're talking about an 11-year span that the Wings don't like.
I don't buy it. What gives Steve Yzerman credit? He's got the payroll in pretty good shape. He's got money to spend.
This
he's
is
got
year
to spend
three
it.
For Yzerman, right?
Yeah, okay, it's time. It's time.
So I'm just saying. Personally, I don't. The Wings are getting borderline irrelevant. And that is bad news, okay? You see some of the animus that's happening with the Tigers. We thought the Tigers would be better. A lot of people are very upset, Rich, about what's been happening with the Tigers. They start that maybe, as you've been saying to J-Bo, this is massive. These 15 games against the Central Division are
19 coming up right now.
They have got to go. Oh. 12-7, something like that. That's the bare minimum for
that's
that.
Right.
So we've talked about where the Lions are. We kind of like Dan Campbell, but when I read some of the things, he's the first guy that people think that will be fired next year.
That's not going to happen.
I'm just telling you that Detroit as a sports town is irrelevant.
Yeah. How long does it take us in Detroit to fire a football coach? It's not going to happen that soon with Denny.
Is that like a screw in a
life? Right, yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying. And we brought in Steve Yzerman, a legend. And right now, as you just say, I don't know if people are going to – how many people are going to show up at the Pizza Arena, Keith, when the Wings are – 26 and 62.
No question about it. No question about it. And and there's the rub with Steve Eisman working with Chris Illich. Steve Eisman goes to Chris Illich and says, I want to spend $30 million over the next 5 years on this player. And Chris Illich says, is he going to get us in the playoffs? And Eisman says, I don't know, but we'll be better with them. And Chris says, well, if you're not going to make the playoffs with them, I don't want you to spend that money. Well, as opposed to his father, who say, you think he's going to get, you know, you like him? Sign him.
But was that the question that Chris Illich had with Al Avila and said, I want to bring in Rodriguez and Javier Baez, and did Al Avila said, that puts us in the playoffs?
I don't know.
Illich has got a lot of room to maneuver here, if you ask me, because he could easily sell each one of these franchises right now.
Yeah.
The way sports are going.
Yeah.
So what the hell does he care if, in fact, I would say, I'm going to spend all the money I can because I'm going to get it back. I know people that are very, Glenn Murray is Lisa Illich's.
I know Glenn.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And they he is very close friends with one of my best friends in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been bemoaning the fact, the Illiches, that they don't make any money. The Wings don't make any money, and the Tigers don't make any money. You know when they make money?
Selling the team.
Yes. Yes.
And they make millions. And
yes. Billions.
Billions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. You guys go ahead and talk amongst yourself. I'm tired.
two names to watch out for in the draft. Let's just throw out a couple of names. According to a lot of mock drafts, the eighth overall, the Red Wings pick a right wing named Jonathan Lakarimaki, 5'10", 171, a little guy who scores goals. That's one guy, a winger, winger.
Where's he out of?
Lakarimaki.
European?
No, he's European. He's got to be a Finn with that name.
Okay.
And in the ninth.
Three A's in a row. And it's
kind of, yeah. A couple of K's, you know, three K's in your name, you know. And in the ninth overall Buffalo Sabres draft, and there's a kid named Matthew Savoie, a center, who is 5'9", 170, about Steve Eisman's size when he was drafted. You know, the fastest, most offensively skilled player, and he's a centerman. That's
the
guy.
Well, they need speed. I mean,
they need a center so bad, yeah. So bad. And you know, the kid probably can't play right away, but in a couple of years.
But I'll be interested to see how this draft goes down, Keith, where the emphasis is going to go on speed.
Oh, it's all about speed in this league right now. All of it. You better skate or you're not going to play.
Yeah.
You have to skate.
Yeah.
So that's the nobody cares about hitting or fighting or, you know, passing. It's all about speed.
Yeah.
If you're a step behind.
That's what I'm a little worried about, you know, Dylan Larkin. You know,
Dylan Larkin still holds the record for the fastest skater at the All-Star break. The kid can fly.
I don't see him using that speed. I don't know if that's because his line mates are not fast enough, and it's a problem. But you know, the Wings look to me on ice to be one of the slowest teams in the league.
They're not.
Okay.
They're not. That's kind of one of the better compliments they get.
Okay.
I talked to Gerard Gallant about the Wings, and he's always talking about their speed. Their speed is threatening.
My bad.
But.
Because I don't watch them very often.
But, you know, listen.
I listen to them on Up North Sports Radio.
Right.
Eisman has drafted pretty darn well. He's got a rookie of the year touting now. Sixth overall. Everybody said, Mo who? Who's this guy? He's your rookie of the year, folks.
Yeah, okay.
We have to trust the process until Steve Eisman proves us wrong. He's got a pretty good track record as a general manager in the NHL.
Keith, you were saying a little different now, not looking for fighting, toughness, blah, blah, blah. A little different than what it was with that Red Wing-Avalanche rivalry 25 years ago.
Did you watch the...
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, you still haven't?
Unrivaled documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. Like you said
yesterday, it almost broke the internet.
It was really funny because there's a whole generation of hockey fans out there who have no idea what it was like back in the 90s, you know, when not just Detroit in Colorado, that was a vicious rivalry, but Dallas was pretty damn good. New Jersey was pretty damn good. Those four teams dominated the league. league for about 10 years.
The Caps didn't sink. The Flyers were really good.
Right.
There were some really good hockey teams. And they played a much more physical brand.
Oh, my Lord, yeah. But the Unrivaled documentary was pretty darn good. I thought we, in our Russian 5 documentary, covered that rivalry in some ways better than the Unrivaled documentary did. They missed a big part of the story about how Patrick Waugh wound up in Colorado, the last piece to their puzzle, when the Wings
because
blew him up with 12 goals.
In Montreal,
he said, I'm done, I'm not going to play anymore here, and they had to trade him.
Can you say that in his French-Canadian accent?
But, you know, when that trade happened, Scotty Bowman called his assistants, Dave Lewis and Barry Smith, and said,
Smith, yeah.
This is really bad news for us, you guys.
Yeah.
Patrick Waugh with that team, watch out.
Yep.
It turned out to be prophetic.
And what I didn't read, 20 Hall of Famers between the Red Wings and Avalanche during those rivalry years. It's just incredible talent.
What was really nice about and you'll see it when you watch it, JC, they were able to get Vladimir Konstantinov in front of the camera to answer questions.
Oh, really?
It was very heartening.
That in your text.
Very, very heartening.
I
can't wait to see it.
We tried to get him when we made the documentary ourselves, but we were a startup, independent, ESPN comes calling. Vladdy, sure, we can get him in front of the camera for you, no problem. But it was good to see.
When we return here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off, I don't care if we're contractually obligated to talk about the Tigers. I think they're playing a little bit better baseball. And as we foreshadowed here a few minutes ago, an immense series of games that the Tigers have to play that are going to tell the tale for this 2022 Tiger baseball team. The baseball season, that's all we've got left in front of us, guys, for the next couple of months. And you want to make it much better? Get your FanDuel account. Turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with your FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code WGRY. Place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. As we mentioned, there's a lot of good Yankee home run bets here. Freddie Freeman's on a tear. You can bet guys getting multiple hits in a game. Those have all been paying off. FanDuel has great promotions every day.
The app is safe and secure, and you get paid fast. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sports book.
Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using the promo code WGRY to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. 21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these words on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith, Gabe, and Rich Calkins. And, guys, we were mentioning off-air for the past month or so, Javier Baez has been a particular punching bag from Keith Gave, but not much to say about Javi in the last couple of weeks.
No, I'll be quiet. As I saw somebody wrote on Twitter recently, it's really nice to see Detroit has a major league shortstop again. Listen, give the guy credit. He studied, he did his homework. And he made some adjustments, and he's tearing the cover off the ball right now and playing pretty good defense as well, like he usually does. So it's nice to see them at that position have a real player.
And Keith, echoing what you were saying, and JC had mentioned, I think, at one time as well, the good thing to see about this was the hard work he put into it. When he was going through this slump, the film work, the things that he was doing.
AJ Hinch kept, supporting him and saying, look at it. We're working on it. He's working on it big time.
They had a meeting. His agent came into town, and they actually went to dinner, the three of them, AJ Hinch, Baez, and his agent. And they sat down, and they talked things through. It was kind of a secret hush-hush meeting. Nobody knew about it. And, from that point forward, his game has come together.
Hey, none of the free agent shortstops have had fantastic years.
That's correct.
Including Correa.
Correa
has been good.
Very average for him.
Yeah, Seager, Story, all the guys that were out there on the market, right. Nobody has been lighting it up. Not like Aaron Judge or Freddie Freeman.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, just, I mean, Judge is in Babe Ruthian territory right now.
Yes, he literally is.
I mean that literally than figuratively. I mean, what can you say about the Yankees?
Just unbelievable.
And they're in the toughest division in baseball, yep. On top of everything else.
What a division, by the way. They all were over 500 in the month of June, five teams, even
Yankees,
Baltimore.
The Yankees won 20 games in June. The Tigers only have 28 wins. Okay, I'm just saying.
I know. And Austin Meadows just can't catch a break right now.
No, he's hurt. Both Achilles.
Both Achilles now, after he got COVID and after he...
And Isaac Paradisius is killing it.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. It's just unbelievable. But, you know, the bats are like... Miggy all year has been hitting the ball.
Yep.
Again, not much for power right now, but it's still...
Clutch hits.
He's clutch hits.
Yep.
Big time. Baez, like... Eric Haas is really coming around again. That's good to see. And the rookie Riley Green. Oh, my. What more can you say? The defensive wizard that he is with those spectacular catches and the clutch hitting by him as well. The kid just appears to be the real deal.
Hopefully, you know, it'd be nice if Torkelson caught fire.
It sure would.
That would really help things out.
I hope that rubs off on him a little bit because he's struggling mightily.
Wow. Whoa, yeah. I mean, you know, there is something. I don't want to. We'll get into it in the last segment. So the Tigers, have the Royals this weekend at home.
They're playing a lot of Kansas City, Cleveland, and Chicago in the next 19 games.
Right.
Not the White Sox. They got everybody else. Those 19 games. I don't have the pitching matchups for tonight. They were both to be determined. Saturday, tomorrow at 4:10, Alex Fiedo against Brady Singer. Sunday, Bo Brisky against Chris Bubik. And on Monday, they have a doubleheader against Cleveland on Monday.
Right.
Well, something really cool, guys. On Sunday, the Tigers game is going to be on Peacock. That's the NBC network.
That's the second time they've done that.
They won't have announcers in the booth. Instead, reporters will take fans around Detroit's Comerica Park and view the game from different vantage points. And this is Sam Flood, NBC Sports Executive Producer. The whole idea of this is treating a game completely different. It's an American holiday celebration weekend. We're going to lean in and treat baseball like fans do.
The Tigers, Brad Keller is pitching for the Royals. The Tigers are TBA, which is hard to imagine considering that they had the day off yesterday.
Correct.
That doesn't
make
any sense to me at all.
I don't get it either.
Yeah, okay. So, but, you know, the starting pitching is, you know, is really haphazard.
It's been tough lately.
Was it Ronnie Garcia pitched a pretty good game against
the Giants?
The
last couple of games he's pitched well.
Yeah, you're right. He's been stepping it up.
Tarik Skubal, four games in a row now. He's not pitched very well. Alex Fiedo is struggling. Bo Brisky, 1-6 with a 4.55 ERA. So.
Yeah, the guys that we were touting just a couple of weeks ago. And then the other Rodriguez, one of the Eduardo Rodriguez is supposed to be back.
The rookie Rodriguez guy is okay.
But Eduardo, he's having marital problems.
Yeah.
Personal.
Yep.
Yeah, after signing that big contract. Sorry, my wife's mad at me. I can't play.
Right.
My God.
Well, maybe something else, you know.
Right.
Maybe the wife was looking at some other things when hubby's not around. So
could be the shoes on the other foot.
Hard to see. Yeah. The as we mentioned, the Tigers play. Well, they got the White Sox on the horizon. They got the Royals, Guardians, White Sox.
Oh, it is White Sox.
Yeah,
Minnesota, they're not playing.
Right.
Minnesota's the one they're not
exactly
playing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
And both, like you said, Cleveland's a four-game series, and it's the White Sox.
Yeah, they don't have the Twins until July 23rd.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, and all that's going to change next year. You know, they're going to this schedule where they're going to play every single team in the league. So you go from, 20 games against teams in your division to half of that?
I'm okay with that.
I don't know. I think it's important to play your division opponents. When you have that many games,
get those rivalries going.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. You know, baseball is purportedly smarter than us, but I don't know if that's the case or not. But this is, as I mentioned earlier, we don't have anything on the sports landscape now but baseball and then free agency and this kind of stuff until football camps open up.
Right. A cool thing, Willie Horton's going to be going to the All-Star game as one of the assistant coaches. I think that's really cool. My favorite player growing up as a kid, Willie Horton.
I love that guy.
Oh, I love that guy, man.
You can hear all of the Tigers action here on Up North Sports Radio. So please join us there when we return on Friday Faceoff. We're going to talk about the NBA and the latest prima donna news. Unbelievable. I guess signing a contract. Why sign contracts?
Right.
Why have contracts?
Why is right.
I don't get it, but we're going to try to make some sense of it here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel's. Welcome back to Air Raid Central here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And, guys, you know, the way the casual nature of this whole thing, Kevin Durant demands trade, and the Nets are looking for a trade partner. What happened to Pound Sand?
Yeah, after signing a four-year contract just last summer. I mean,
one of those, you know, and one of the years that the Nets paid him $32 million, he sat on the bench with a bad Achilles.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly right.
You know, I guess the loyalty is, although, you know, you saw James Harden do the right thing. You haven't seen that much in basketball, right? But the, Harden realized a couple of things, did a smart move, dropped out of his player option, gives the Sixers a hell of a lot more flexibility. They signed it, you know, P.J. Tucker. Sixers are going to be right there. If Joel Embiid stays healthy, the Sixers have an outstanding chance of making it to the NBA Finals.
Because like we talked about here, J.C., that his experience, that playoff experience, that toughness, plays defense, things like that. P.J. Tucker, nice addition. Like you said, James Harden, I mean, could have been very selfish in signing that player option for, what, $47
million? $47 million, yeah. Which is exactly what Russell Westbrook did.
He didn't take a team-friendly deal.
Yeah.
But
he had said that even when the season, you know, that if people were going nuts the day of the last press conference of the year. He goes, I'm good. I've got my $47 million. I know where I'll be at next year.
This soap opera business, these personalities, these inmates running the asylum, I've not seen anything quite like this as a league outside the NFL draft. What's going on with the NBA going into free agency yesterday is wild. But these personalities are what turns a lot of fans off from the game.
It is. Yep, that's what, you know, the Giannis Antetokounmpo guys that says, I love Milwaukee and I want to stay there and play there.
Right.
Those guys are few and far between, and you love to see it at a smaller market.
We hope Cade Cunningham turns into that in Detroit, right?
Well, you know, by all accounts, he has embraced Detroit.
Yeah.
And now he's got Jaden Ivey coming in who wanted to be here.
Yes.
So, you know, if they play good basketball, playoff ability basketball, then that could change. It's just that the East has got, there's no easy, there's very few easy outs in the East now.
Yeah.
You know, the Cavaliers looked really good until they had a lot of injuries, so they're going to be there. Same thing with the Bulls.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And then you got the Pistons. I don't know what's going to happen with the Knicks, the Hornets, depending on what happens with Miami and Durant now, then that's what, you know, it doesn't, if they trade Durant to anywhere, that's going to leave the Nets out of the rotation. So, you know, we'll see what happens when the season starts.
Because Kyrie Irving will soon be traded. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. But, I mean, I think he'll
there
be going.
There you go. I get another one.
Yeah, he's not going to stick around there without Kevin Durant. So,
bottom line, JC, we should...
Bottom line, the Pistons...
We should be optimistic about what's happening with the Pistons.
This is it. The Pistons are going to lead the resurgence of Detroit. I believe they are a playoff team, depending on injuries, this year, this coming year. So, they can't start off poorly like they've done the last couple of years.
Right.
I don't think that I haven't seen an NBA schedule yet this year, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens in summer ball, Rich.
Well, that's a thank you for that lead-in, JC, because I happen to have four games on my schedule right here. Yeah, exactly. They play starting July 7th at midnight on ESPN. For the Keith, maybe when you're out fishing or something like that, come back and catch the second half of
there
the Sunday.
Someone says Keith gave summer like summer ball in Vegas.
Right, exactly. That's there. That's what they love. Yeah. You don't think those players love playing in Vegas?
Joanne, take that negligee off. Yeah,
I'm watching some NBA basketball in August.
But, you know, what will be interesting is will Cunningham play on the summer team to play with Jaden Ivey and the other guys, Jalen Duren, because he doesn't have to. But you see this happen quite a bit. Second-year players will play in the summer league. So
yes,
that
very much.
Will be a very telling tale about how this team is going to mesh.
Chemistry. That's right.
So,
and the one piece of news with the Pistons, they did sign Marvin Bagley to a 3-year, $37 million contract.
Yeah, that's a good move.
That was a good move. And another pickup, a guy named Kevin Knox.
I know Kevin
forward,
Knox. Kevin,
to a 2-year, $6 million
well,
contract.
Kevin Knox was a high draft pick.
His first year, he was really good.
He was a top 10 draft pick.
With the Knicks.
Yes.
And he got dealt in the Porzingis deal, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he went to Dallas, and it didn't work out. So maybe this is a Troy Weaver move. This is a guy that played really well once, just like Marvin, you know, Bagley.
Yep.
He does this all the time.
Yep.
He did it in Oklahoma, Reggie Jackson kind of move. So, you know, if I remember correctly, he's like 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good shot.
Yep.
I don't know what his defensive tendencies are, but they better be good. You know, the Pistons need a little bit more shooting and a little bit more athleticism on the wing. I think they got, you know, they're going to be fine with Ivy and Duren, so at the guard and at the center position. But, you know, wing is where it's at.
It is.
It's really the biggest hole on this roster.
It is, absolutely. They, you know, expect them to sign another player, and you like...
Otto Porter Jr.?
Yes, exactly.
Otto Porter Jr., calling Otto Porter Jr. I don't know. I don't know who else on that list. Rich, you and I have been trading names back and forth. Bobby Portis would have been interesting, but he opted out and then re-signed back in. And then P.J. Tucker, who I really liked, is going to the Sixers. And the Sixers are going to be interesting.
Yeah,
so,
no question.
I don't know who the best free agent left out there is. But it'll be interesting for the next – I think the window is 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think that kid from Chicago is still a free agent, per se. What's his name? Big-time scorer. Can't think of it right.
Romanian kid.
And I can't.
Not Nikola Jokic, but it's something like that. Vucevic.
Yeah. And so there's, you know, there's still some big-time players available, for sure. But no, I would, like you said, I like you touching that base of trading Troy Weaver there, how he able to find guys that were legitimate good players in the NBA at one point, but they've either fallen out of favor or didn't match with the coaching, the team.
Exactly. That's it's one of the things that you hope for. That's what the Lakers are counting on. I don't know who's going to go and play with that disaster.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't know. We're not in LA. There hasn't been much news out. I wonder how much if LeBron went to Westbrook and said, "Why don't you make a deal here and see if we can get," and or, you know, there's an old saying in the NBA: you never talk to anybody about their money.
Right.
So, but he could have done the Lakers a massive favor.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, the Lakers signed four players yesterday.
Yeah. Three guys named Mo and
a guard Lonnie Walker, the fourth, forward Troy Brown Jr., a center Damian Jones, and a forward Juan Toscano Anderson.
That is the last guy on the bench for the Warriors.
Is that who that is?
That is the last guy on the white guy.
Okay.
Remember, because I'm like, who is that guy? I'm serious. Serious as a heart attack. I'm like, who's on the floor?
Right. But Lonnie Walker, he can play. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, has been okay in the league a little bit.
Thank you, Rich, for that rousing endorsement.
A
little bit. She used to be pretty a long time ago. I wouldn't date her, but, you know, she's okay.
Westbrook, they needed addition by subtraction. It's not going to happen. And like you said, to gain favor with the organization and the fans of L.A., because, again, they booed Russell last year. And, you know, he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. He could have done one of the James Harden deals.
Well, he knows that. I mean, this is the last year of this deal, right?
Yeah, it is.
If he stays in the league after this, it's going to be in the, you know, the $8 to $10 million range. He's going to have a really good season. It will be interesting. I don't understand. I do understand why he fell out of favor so badly in L.A. He doesn't shoot the ball very well. But, you know, it's their fault. He never shot the ball very well. You can't turn,
They knew what they were getting.
You can't turn a grizzly bear into a gazelle. Right. It just, you know, it doesn't happen. And I know why LeBron wanted him in. You know, now I don't have to play 35 minutes a game like this, because this guy is a dynamo.
And he plays hard every game, every moment.
He makes up two players on the floor with his energy.
Yep.
Okay? He just does.
Yep.
You know, it's like Rodman. Rodman was two players on the floor.
Right.
For sure.
You know?
Right.
So,
right.
But you needed Westbrook to score, and those guys didn't mesh, and, you know, will they be able to do it this year? Question mark. Go ahead, Keith. I know you got something.
No, I don't. I really don't. I'm just checking my notes to make sure we covered everything.
Are we over 100 paddlers?
We're not. We're at only one more added in the week, so we're at 94. We were at 93 last week. We're at 94 now, so it's been a little bit of
When do they close that window?
Oh, they'll write up to a few days before.
Yeah, I think it's the Monday before.
Yeah, because
right?
they got to do, if they don't do the time trials, then they get put to the very back of the pack and all that. But I do expect a few more teams to join. So we're July 1st, but the race is at the end of the month.
Here. Right, yeah, we've still got a little ways to go.
Today July 1st?
It is, yeah.
Man, where did June go?
Oh, holy. To the Yankees. It's been in the Bronx, Keith.
Man. You wait all year for June to come. It lasts about 3 days and it's gone.
I know it.
All right, well, that is going to do it for this episode of Friday Faceoff. Thanks so much for joining us here on Up North Sports Radio.
You're welcome, Jerry.
Home of the Detroit Tigers. Maybe I should give out a bet real quick. Let's open up FanDuel and see what I like today. I've got some really good golf bets that I made yesterday. JT Poston shot 62 yesterday, and I bet him before the tournament started.
At the John Deere Classic?
Yeah, the John Deere Classic. I haven't seen if you can bet on LIV Golf. The Brewers surprisingly lost to the Pirates yesterday. I like them big time today. The Brewers have been playing pretty good baseball. I think the Yankees will pummel the Guardians. I keep calling them the Indians.
Yeah.
That is the stupidest logo I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
Who's pitching? Oh, Garrett Cole. That's why it's only over 8.5. Tigers today are a favorite, even with a TBD. That's unusual.
Okay.
Sure is.
Against the Royals. They are minus 116.
My thing I see, it says Pineda's pitching for the Tigers.
Well, not according to FanDuel. The Twins and the Orioles go at it. Dodgers and Padres, that's a really good series. Snell's pitching, that's why it's under 7.5 runs. Lance Lynn and the White Sox are taking on Alex Cobb and the Giants. I like the under there, under 7.5 runs. Oh.
I got a real quick thing, JC. Imani Bates going to Eastern Michigan University.
Yeah. I was shocked at that.
Oh, well, excellent article on CBSSports.com by Gary Parrish, who followed it, because remember, October 2019, the age of 15, Imani was a cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
And it says, born for this, Magic Michael LeBron, and this 15-year-old who is next in line.
Stan Heath recently joined the coaching staff there. He's a pretty good coach. So we'll see. Eastern, there's a couple other kids that Bates played in high school with.
Yep.
Maybe Eastern will have one of those dynamite seasons out of the MAC. But, you know, he could have – Louisville wanted him.
Here's the deal. According to Penny Hardaway, the coach of Memphis told him not to come back because of dealing with his dad. Elgin Bates, that's the deal. His dad has been behind
the
scenes.
Academy.
He is. Yep. He's been behind the scenes working things. And so Louisville, Michigan turned him down, according to Gary Parrish. All of this say, no, don't come here.
Wow.
That's why he's going to Eastern. It sounds like a feel-good story.
You know what? If I was Juwan, I figure I can handle some dad.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But what a lot of it's saying is that they've stunted his development. He's the same player he was at 15.
I saw some Memphis games. He did not do anything to impress me. No.
He was in the starting lineup to start the, and then he faded into.
Well, he got hurt.
Yeah. Well,
he missed like six games.
The back problem was. Yeah.
That's an interesting story, Rich, and I had forgotten. I did want to mention it, so thanks for bringing it up. We'll see if the kid can live up to his expectations. I never even saw Michigan State's name back in it, so obviously they didn't want to get involved either. So sometimes there's lots of unfulfilled promise.
Oh, boy.
But I do promise this. We will be back next week here on Friday Face-Off on Up North Sports Radio. Check out JC in the afternoon at 3:30. Keith Gabe and I will talk a little bit about the game on tonight.